Today, I'm going to talk on a subject known as Lashon Hara. That means the evil tongue. Before I start, does anyone have an evil tongue out here? Yeah, raise your hand if you have an evil tongue. Okay. Well, we're going to find out that what that means, but I think we're going to find out that a lot more of you have one than you think. Okay? So today is a double Torah portion. That means that today there's actually two portions from the Torah read on this day. And it includes a portion known as Acharei Mot, which means after the death. And it's talking about after the death of Aaron's two sons who offered unauthorized fire before God. And the second portion is Kiddushim, which means holy ones. And these two portions cover from Leviticus chapter 16 through Leviticus 20. Now, this section known as Kiddushim is rightly called Holy Ones because it contains all the necessary ingredients if added to our lives to truly make us a holy people. It includes teachings such as honor your father and honor your mother, help the poor and the strangers who live among you, treat the blind and the deaf with respect. And it goes on and on and on about how we should act, how we should treat one another, how we should be faithful people before God. However, there's one teaching among all the components of this parsha that catches my attention and should catch all of our attentions. And it's a subject that I've had to deal with many times as a rabbi, both in my own life, but also in the life of the people in the congregation. If you have your scriptures with you, and I hope you do, maybe you have it in the form of a Bible like this. Some of you may not have seen one of these in a while. Or you may have it on your cell phone like this, or some of you may have a tablet. But whatever means you have to study the Word or listen to the Word, get it out. Because I want you to follow along with me just these two verses here. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 16 through 17. Leviticus 19, verses 16 through 17. So if you're all there, hopefully, it says, you are not to go up and down as a talebearer. In some versions, that says a gossip. You are not to go up and down as a gossip among your people. You are not to endanger the life of your neighbor. I am Adonai. You are not to hate your brother in your heart. Instead, you are to firmly rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Now, the point here of these two verses that really stand out is that we are not to be gossips. We are not to be gossips. You know, and I regret to confess that I've not only listened to gossip, but I've also spread gossip. Rabbi Yossi, no! Yes, I have spread it. And I have been the victim of gossip. And let me tell you, being a rabbi, I have been called everything from Genghis Khan to Attila the Hun to Hitler to you name it. I've been called everything and spoken about against me by so many people. I've had people tell me because I'm so evil, God was going to take the life of my children from me. I mean, I've had everything imaginable said. But no matter what the case, God does not like gossips. Not at all. And most people who engage in talebearing or gossiping or talk about someone, They believe that if you talk about someone or something in which you were or are personally involved, it's not gossip. In other words, if you're involved in a situation or you know about it, it's not really gossip. Yes, it is gossip. It's gossip. They also think that if what you're talking about is actually true and it's verifiable as being true, then it's not gossip. But both of these definitions are misconceptions. So I'm going to give a biblical definition of the word talebearer or gossip. Gossip is any conversation about the affairs of others, even if it involves you. It is a repeating or listening to a story or even saying something negative about someone without them being present to defend themselves. Something does not have to be a lie in order to be gossip. In some cases, repeating a story and a story that's true about someone may just be as harmful to that person as if it were not true. Gossip can destroy people's lives and it can destroy you. Now, one of the interesting types of gossip, and I see this all the time, is when people give what's known as extemporaneous prayer. That means you're in a gathering and you're all praying. And you say something like, Lord, I just pray that you would speak into the life of so-and-so, and they're sinning, Lord, and they're sleeping around, and I saw them drinking at the bar, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, that you deliver them from their foulness and their vulgarity, oh God. You ever hear that? Have you ever done that? No? I hope not. I hope you weren't talking about me. But I've heard it a lot of times. And people think, well, it's in prayer. It's okay to do. And you may be praying, you think, with the best intentions whatsoever. But if you reveal the details of someone's lives, which is really irrelevant for the prayer, you're gossiping. And you're hurting somebody. I've seen some people get really hurt bad by somebody praying in public about something. And then listening to gossip is as much as sin as spreading it. I mean, you don't have to go around and gossip to be guilty of gossip. If you're just over there and two people start talking and you kind of, you know, go like this, talk louder, you know. You're gossiping. You're listening to it. And what's your intention? What's in your heart about it? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 4, it says, an evil doer listens to wicked lips, and a liar listens to a malicious tongue. That sounds scary, doesn't it? Wow. God does not want us to even listen to gossip. In the portion of Scripture where David came across King Saul when he was in a cave and he was actually relieving himself in this story. And we read that unknown to Saul, David cut off a corner of his robe. And when they came out of the cave, David confronted Saul from a distance and said in 1 Samuel 24:9, then David said to Saul, why do you listen to men's words saying, look, David intends to harm you? And David was showing, look, see, I cut off a piece of your cloak. I could have killed you. God brought you into my hands. I could have killed you because you have been after my life for all these years. But I didn't. Here's the cloth. Here's the proof. And yet you listen to everyone else who's saying, David wants to harm you. David wants to kill you. David is evil. David is rotten. All these things. David could have taken his life, but he didn't. So why do we listen to gossip? You know, I think we like it. Who likes listening to gossip? I mean, if there's some things that someone's talking about, some interesting story about somebody, you know, something that's really, what's the word here? Well, not more, huh? Yeah, they're kind of raising their hand. You've all done it. I know Irene always accuses me of doing the same thing. I mean, I hear her, you know, she's talking to someone over there, and sometimes I go like this. I'm trying to, what? She always brings it up and tells me, boy, look at you, always listening. Yeah, we like it. We love to listen to gossip. It's a fact. It's a fact. You know, we're all busybodies, and we enjoy getting into other people's lives. We really do. Is it because we're so influenced by sin that we cannot resist it? Or is it because we get satisfaction in hearing that other people have problems? Oh, Shanika, it has this... Oh, I didn't know Shanika was doing that. She is, Bob? Okay. Okay. Oh, I must have hurt somebody. Yeah, I was... Okay. Whatever the reason, God tells us that we need to avoid doing it. In the book of Proverbs, verse 20, verse 19, Proverbs 20, 19, it says, a talebearer goes about revealing secrets, so don't associate with a babbler. A gossip is a babbler. Just babbles and babbles and babbles, and we listen and listen and listen. Frustrated people who do not know how to handle a situation they have encountered almost always resort to gossip, and they do it with the guise of seeking advice or counsel. However, if that person you're seeking advice or counsel from is not a trained professional, like a rabbi or a pastor or an elder in your congregation, then you're just exposing yourself to sin. A proper counselor will always encourage godliness and reconciliation. They will recognize the problem and direct you to a biblical solution. That's where you find the answer in the scriptures. These are people who can be relied upon to share with, people who are always seeking God first. And it's unfortunate, however, that most people, instead of seeking out someone who is trained and will give you biblical advice, prefer to share something with a friend or the first person that will listen to them. Most people, when they share with someone other than a rabbi or their pastor or an elder, are not really seeking a biblical solution. You're not really looking for a biblical answer. You just want sympathy. You're not looking for answers. You know, gossip causes division in the congregation. I've seen it before. I've been part of congregations where gossip destroys a congregation. It splits a congregation. It causes hurt. It pits one person against another person in the congregation. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says, Proverbs 16, 28, a perverse person sows strife, and a gossip separates close friends. You ever see where gossip has separated friends? Yeah. Do you know what God's solution is for such people? Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer or no gossip, the strife ceases. And I like that. It's a good saying. If you don't have any wood, then you can't have a fire. So where there's no gossip, the strife is going to end. That's kind of good advice, isn't it? God says, get rid of them. He does not want them around, and neither should we. So if you're a gossip, there's the door. Don't everyone leave at once now. If you have been offended by someone, or if you hear or see something concerning someone, go directly to them. That's the best way. Go directly to them. Speak about it with them by revealing how you feel directly to the person who may have offended. Both you and they will be restored to fellowship with God while preserving your fellowship with one another. If you have a concern, go to that person. Bob, I need to talk to you, boy. I'm telling you. Okay. I've got some real concerns. Okay, but I'm going to talk to you. I'm not going to tell them about all your sins, okay? Yeah. Okay. We can have some of the greatest growing experience when someone comes to us in love and genuine concern. If someone comes to you and they really love you and they're really concerned, that can really restore relationships and it can really help one another. You know, the evil one, Satan, wants you to gossip. He loves when you gossip. He loves when you listen to gossip so that you can fall out of favor with God. He encourages you to gossip. This is because when you fall out of favor with God, you come under His authority. And that's what He wants you to fall under His authority. So next time, before you gossip or you listen to gossip, remind yourself of this verse from Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any virtue and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Dwell on these things. Those are the things that we need to be thinking about and meditating about. And I catch myself thinking this scripture sometimes when I have a thought I shouldn't have, or I'm thinking about something I shouldn't have, or I'm thinking something about somebody, you know, that I shouldn't have that thoughts about them, or I'm angry with them. And I think sometimes, okay, Lord, help me. Help me to think of the good things and the pure things and the holy things and the things which are right and godly. Our mind has to be focused on these things. We need to dwell on these types of things. Now, the Messiah Yeshua taught in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, and verse 33 through 37, Matthew 12, 33 through 37, on what's known as a tree is known by its fruit. And he spoke these words, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit." And then he goes on to say, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil desire, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Wow. That's quite a rebuke, isn't it? It really is. I think we need to be reading this verses, you know, often, actually. We need to refer to this. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, he's going to bring good things out. But if you're evil, you're going to be bringing out evil things. But look at this. Every idle word that we speak will have to give an account to God on the day of judgment. I don't want to have to stand before God and hear the words, "Do you remember when you said those words? How hurtful they were? What it did to that individual? how you broke their heart, how they left serving me because of what you did, what you said. Wow. I pray that each one of us find the strength in the Messiah, not to grieve the Ruach HaKodesh, not to grieve the Holy Spirit with our tongues. God wants us to use our words for building up one another and strengthening one another. We read in the book of Yaakov, the book of James in chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, talks about the tongue. And it says, so the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. See how small a fire sets ablaze so great a forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of evil placed among our body parts. It pollutes the whole body and sets on fire the course of life and is set on fire by Gehenna, by hell. Your tongue is powerful. Most of us, our tongues are, I don't know, this long, however long it is. I mean, our legs are, our arms, our head's bigger. You know, it's a small part of the body, but it can set the world on fire, our tongues. And we've got to control our tongue. For every species, and it goes on, for every species of birds and beasts and reptiles and sea creatures is tamed, it has been tamed by mankind. But no human can tame the tongue. You cannot tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Adonai, we bless our Lord, and we bless our Father. And with it we curse people who are made in the very image of God. From the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be. And I think we've all have caught ourselves doing this. How sometimes we can praise the Lord with our tongue, and the next thing that comes out of our mouth can be something negative or ugly about somebody or hurtful to somebody. Out of the same mouth, almost consecutively, we can do things like that. And we've got to stop it. We've got to stop with what is known in the Hebrew as the Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. It's an evil tongue that we have to control the tongue. Let's practice these words of Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, as he spoke in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And he said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. This is how we need to practice. This is what we need to do. We need to be able to build up one another, meet others' needs, benefit those who listen, not tear them down. We need to get rid of the Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. So we need to be thinking, are we building up somebody by the words that we say, or are we tearing them down? And would you say these things if Yeshua was in the room with you? If he was in front of you, would you say those things? But let me tell you what. When you say those things, he is in the room with you. Just because you don't see him with your physical eyes, don't think that he's not there. And he sees, and he hears, and he knows, and he weeps. He weeps. And one of the most horrific things we could do is bring tears and weeping to God by our lives. I think God needs to, The Lord needs to look at us and smile. That's what he needs to do. Smile. Oh, wow. Can you believe, you know, Yeshua talks to the Father and said, and he says, Daddy, can you believe what she just said, what he just did? Can you believe it? Wow, I am so proud of you. That's amazing. And that's what I want God to be, so proud of me and so proud of you by the things that we say and the things that we do. So I think it's a good practice that whenever you say something, whenever you do something, realize that he's in the room with you. He's there and he heard what you said. He sees what you're doing. And I think it will change your whole perspective. It will. He won't say those things. He won't do those things. Thank you, Lord.